Last week's parsha dealt with the creating of the Mishkan, the measurements, the materials, the items that would be used inside the Mishkan. And this week we move over to the clothing of the Kohanim and of the Kohen Gadol. And what I'm going to try to do today is to compare and to contrast the workers, or the work that was done on those two things, because at face value you would have said that it really should be the same. I mean, both of them are involved in the same general enterprise, so being the same enterprise, you would expect that whatever rules apply by one would apply by the other, and we don't necessarily find that to be the case. If you just want to use one piece of information, the workers used to make the clothing are never named. There are no names involved in this. When it comes to the workers involved in the construction, then you have, you know, probably hanging outside the Mishkan, we're saying, you know, Bezalel and so on, and construction company and so on, or architects. But the names are known. So at least the leading names are known. Unless you're going to claim, which I don't believe there's any real evidence for this, that Bezalel was in charge of everything, because it doesn't seem to say that. So over here, going to the first source, Perek Kaf Chet, V'atah hikrevi lech et Aron achich v'et banav ito, mitoch b'nei Yisrael l'chahano li. So that half of a pasuk says that Aaron and sons will now become Kohanim. Aaron, Nadav, Aviu, Elazar, Vitamar, b'nei Aaron are now spelled out by name. Of course, the name which is not mentioned here is Pinchas, and that creates intrigue later on, because it's only Aaron and sons that are mentioned, but grandson is not mentioned at this point. But is that how they picked your name? When this is your parsha, right?
It's my life.
So that's how they picked your name, because it's a name that wasn't here? Okay. V'asisa bigde kodesh laharon achicha lechavod ulatifares. So before we go any further, I would ask, so what exactly are those two things? What is kavod and what is tiferet? Are they the same or are they different? If they're the same, why do we have two words? If they're different, so what does each one of these indicate? What I can tell you is, if one searches through Bereshit Shemot, well, one searches through the Chumash till this point, one will only find the word kavod in connection to God. You won't find kavod in connection to anything else. The exception for this will happen later on by Bilam, where the word kavod will be mentioned in connection to him, but it eludes him, and it eludes him because of what he did. And again, you can then question whether, once again, kavod over there as well is somehow connected to God. So I would call kavod honor, but by saying that it may be more than that, because it may be some kind of honor which is somehow connected to the divine, or a relationship, or serving, or so on, so that becomes a little bit more interesting. What is tiferet? So we'll leave that for the moment. Now, if I were to pause right there, then I would assume that Chachmei Lev are people who have wise hearts. Again, why wisdom is connected to the heart itself is quite interesting. But then it continues and it says, again from the beginning, V'atah tedaber al kol Chachmei Lev, asher mileitiv ruach chachma. Speak to the people who are these wise people, who I have filled them with the spirit of wisdom. So is the filling of the spirit of wisdom something which was done particularly in order to fulfill this task? Or is Moshe supposed to find people that God has endowed them with certain gifts, intellectual gifts, and those are the ones who are going to be chosen? But as I said again, the names over here of the people are not mentioned. Vasuot bigde Aaron lekadsho lechahano li. And these people will make the clothing for Aaron to sanctify it, to be a holy endeavor, to serve me. I'm using the word l'chahanoli, to serve me, for a very simple reason, and that is that that's the translation which we find in the Targum. If you look at the Targum, for Pasuk Bet, he writes, V'tavid levushe kedush la'aron achuch li'akar Lutushbecha. Lutushbecha. So likar is a word which is actually, we have it in our yakar, something which is of value. So it's interesting that that's the translation here of kavod. And tushbecha is praised. So that's interesting in terms of the translation of Tiferet. And Pasuk Gimel, the Targum translated, Va'atim alel and kol chachme liba, da'ashlemit imahon ruach chachma. Speak to people who have wisdom, who I have filled them with wisdom. V'yavdun yat levushe arun lekadshute l'shamsha kadmai. And they will serve as people who serve me. L'shamash. A shamash is the way that the Targum translates l'chahen, Kohen, which we would translate a Kohen as somebody who is a priest or somebody. No, but it's saying, what is a Kohen? Somebody who is Mishamesh Bakodesh. Somebody who serves in a holy context. So that is the translation here of Kohen. On the other hand, when we look in source number 4, that's later on, that's Perek Lamed Aleph, and here it talks about those people who were involved in building the Mishkan by the Berashem Moshe Lemor, Re'ei Karati B'Shem, which itself is a very interesting formulation in terms of the tense involved, Re'ei Karati B'Shem, and it's specifically the name is over here, is mentioned, is utilized as opposed to the nameless men and women, I will stress women as well, as opposed to the men and women who were involved in the making of the clothing. Over here we find Re'ei Karati B'Shem B'Tzala Ben Uri Ben Chur L'Mate Yehuda. The chilling part of this is the fact that he is connected to Chur. Chur, of course, is the person who disappears. Chazal tell us that his disappearance is not like Jimmy Hoffa, although actually it may have been. But his disappearance is connected to the Chet HaEgel. We've seen him twice. The first time we saw him was in the battle against Amalek, so I guess if we read Parshat Zachar today, this week as well, so we can make mentions to Parshat Zachar, but there's two Parshat Zachars. There's Parshat Zachar, when it happens, then to remember what happened. But what happened was Amalek comes and attacks them, attacks the weakest ones, attacks the ones who are towards the outside of the camp, the stragglers. And Moshe sends Yehoshua down to wage the war, while Moshe stands up on the mountain together with Aharon and Hur. So this group of four people are quite significant, because Yehoshua is from the Ephraim, from Yosef. He therefore is a prototype of what we will one day call Mashiach ben Yosef. Moshe represents, of course, Torah, and perhaps Malchut, but he's primarily Torah. Aaron is the man who will be Kohen, and Hur, coming from Yehuda, that's where Malchut is as well, and that's where Malchus eventually moves to, and therefore this becomes the prototype of David, or perhaps a Ben David. When we get to Matan Torah, and Moshe is about to go up the mountain, Yehoshua goes up with Moshe at least halfway. So again, Yeshua is separated from the others, but it's interesting, while Yeshua was leading the battle, which by the way very much is a Mashiach ben Yosef task, Yehoshua will enter the land and conquer the land and divide the land, but he doesn't build the Beit HaMikdash, so hold on to that. That becomes the role literally of a Ben David, of Shlomo Ben David, does that task, and then Mashiach ben David build the next Beit HaMikdash. But if we pause there for a second, Yehoshua now accompanies Moshe going up halfway the mountain, but Moshe's instructions are, if there are any problems, consult Aharon and Hur. And that's the last time we hear of Hur. Aharon, on the other hand, it says that Vayar Aharon, Aharon sees, so the Gemara says, what does he see? By the Chet HaEgel, he sees what they did to Hur. And then the Gemara creates a whole narrative that we're unaware of from the text itself, and it says that they approached Hur, and they say to Hur, Hur, help us make an eagle, or help us do something, build a Mizbeach, let's build another god, or whatever it is. And Hur refuses to build. I think that's important. He refuses to construct. He refuses to be involved in that. And he essentially says something over my dead body, and they murder him. According to the Gemara, Aaron sees this and he says, if I stop and I don't acquiesce to their request, they will kill me as well, and that will fulfill the pasuk in Eicha, that because you killed a Kohen and a Navi on one day, and he says, perhaps Am Yisrael will never be forgiven from this, it's better that I build the Mizbeach. It's better that I be involved in it. So therefore, Aaron sees what happened to Hur. So according to this, they killed the man who is the prototype. It's spiritual DNA. They killed the man who's the prototype of Mashiach. So, you know, in today's world, they probably would have fired him, you know, given him severance or something. But here you have a man who, that's the potential. And I'm going back to the previous episode, and the previous episode is, he's the man who upholds Moshe's arm. He's one of the two people who upholds Moshe's arm. So that should tell you that these are two people of incredible significance. So what is that significance? So now, again, we begin to get a sense. When we read over here, Re'ei Karati, And by the way, according to the Gemara, and this is something which one can debate, but according to the Gemara, Hur is actually, okay, who's actually, okay, let me do this, you know. He's actually described as the son of Kalev. And Kalev is married to Miriam. The only problem is, it says that Kalev marries Ephrat. So therefore they say, no, that Ephrat and Miriam is really the same person. That's what the Gemara says, that Ephrat, and therefore Ephrat would come somehow connected to Peru Avu, which is why therefore Hur, according to that tradition, is the son of Kalev and Miriam, which means it's Moshe's nephew. Okay, there is a tradition as well, which is not a rabbinic tradition, that Hur was married to Miriam. But that would seem to be difficult in as much as Miriam is married to Kalev. So, let's then move on. What's interesting here then is, again, the Pasuk, Re'ei Karati B'Shem Bitzalel Ben Uri Ben Hur L'Matei Yehuda. So you can debate whether Hur is in fact a child of Kalev, which, again, just makes things far more interesting in terms of the whole stories, Ilcheta Egel and the Chen Meraglim. It just gave you another connection, perhaps, between the two. But I'm not as concerned whose Hur's father is, but I'm far more concerned that Bezalel is the grandson of Hur. So therefore, coming after the murder of Hur, and to find Bezalel over here becomes interesting. We'll see. Hopefully, at least one of the commentaries make mention of this. But here we're told v'amaleoto ruach elokim. So just right there, I want to pause. Ruach elokim was not mentioned when we looked at the attributes which were described by the people who make the clothing. That phrase isn't there. Ruach elokim was not there. It says ruach elokim bichachma uvitfuna uvidat ubechol melacha. So again, you'll notice that a lot more words are used, while previously the only thing that we really seem to notice was Chachmah. So as opposed to just Chachmah, we also have Ruach Elokim and Tfuna and Dat and so on. And it continues, Lachshov Machshavot, right? Again, even more capabilities. Lasot Bezahav V'Kesef V'Nechoshet. Now, there, again, it goes back to which materials they used. Uve Charoshet, Evan Lamalot, Vacharoshet, Eitz, Lasot, Pachom, Melacha. So you see the various things going on, but it's not the textiles in terms of clothing making. The skills which are mentioned over here are in terms of the building the Mishkan and building the Kelim, but the clothing making is not mentioned here. But Ani Hine Natati Ito et Eliahav ben Achisamach Lamate Dan, Uvalev Kochacham Lev Natati Chochma. So again, that becomes a little more similar to what we had before, not exact. Uvalev Kochacham Lev Natati Chochma. Vasu et kol asher tziviticha. And they will do everything which I commanded. So what I want you to notice is, again, I said last week we had the description of the Mishkan and the Kelim and the utensils inside. This week we have descriptions of the clothing. The skills which are utilized to do the two. So obviously you're going to tell me that there are different skills, a different skill set, in terms of sewing and so on and making clothing versus making the building, but that's not what interested me. What interested me is more of the divine gift which was given, the divine gift which was shared, and the inspiration and so on. And obviously you see that what Bezalel has is far more than what the people who are making the clothing. The Ibn Ezra quotes the Gaon, probably of Sadia Gaon, source 5, who gives a whole elaborate explanation why specifically from the tribes of Yehuda and Dan, and then the Ibn Ezra at the end will say that's completely preposterous and makes no sense whatsoever. We'll read the first part. Amar Agon, Lama nivchur b'tzalav Eliyah, v'hishiv ki b'tzalav b'nei Yehuda, shim shilu Yaakov l'gur Aryeh, because Yehuda is compared to a lion, gam Eliyah mi'b'nei Dan, shim shilu Moshe l'gur Aryeh. So if you look at the quote-unquote blessings of Moshe and the blessings of Yaakov, those two tribes have something in common. By the way, that's always what one needs to do, is to find, you say, this is random, right? Yehuda and Dan are random, and say, let's find something in common, then you only have one question, what's the significance of what's in common? So he then writes, and he explains, V'aryeh tsar mi'achorav, v'kacha haya habayit. And he quoted a Mishnah in Midot, that the line which is broader in front and more narrow in the back, that's what the Beit HaMikdash is, v'zeh derasha deresh, and that's the way it was explained by the Gaon, ki b'tzal v'liyav lo banu abayit. For Roch of a Mishkan, Jasu Hayashabeh. He goes, that's wonderful, but there's nothing to do with the Mishkan, which they actually built, which was a rectangle and was not broader in the front and more narrow in the back. So he says, I have no idea what he's talking about, because the interpretation just cannot make any sense. So he says, Ve'in tam l'sheilato, and not only do I not like his answer, I don't like his question. Ki nivcharu ba'avur shelo haya b'Yisrael kimohem. They were chosen because there was nobody else like them in Israel, which means they had the most capabilities, which is very interesting, and I want to pause there for a second. What the Ibn Ezra was dealing with is why Eliyahu from Dan, and why why Bezalel from Yehuda. So he says they have something in common. They're both compared to lions, one by Yaakov and one by Moshe. So at the end he says, I don't like the answer because I don't like the question. The answer's wrong. The question's unnecessary. But why were these two chosen? Because they had the greatest capability. And I just want to now ask a second. If they already had the greatest capability, then why did God have to fill them up with any other capabilities? Because they already had the greatest capability. So therefore, are we dealing with some kind of innate skills, capabilities, which they have before they start? Or maybe, yes, they did have capabilities, but God gives them even more. But again, I'm just noting that the Ibn Ezra's question and answer over here, or his cited question and answer, are somewhat interesting, and the answer especially, because he just seems to say, well, they're chosen because they're the best artisans, and that's that. I guess Bezalel went to Bezalel. And so the Bechor Shur writes, in source number 7, Va'asita bigdei kodesh, sheyimshu bam bikodesh, v'lo yavo lefanai bigdei chol, kavod. He used the word kavod. Ki'im bigdei tiferet v'kodesh. I hope you like the circular explanation here. But there was a point to this. We're going back now. First, we're going to try to figure out what exactly were these clothing. And maybe then we'll understand the difference between the makers of the clothing versus the makers of the Mishkan itself. So the first thing that he's saying over here is that whoever makes the clothing, or what these clothing are, the main point about these clothing is they're not regular clothing. Again, that didn't say what they are, they're just saying what they're not. What makes them special is that they're different, which means it could be that everybody else wears this, and this is different, so therefore it makes it different. It's the difference, it's the contrast that made this something which was of kavod and of tiferet. It's different. That's a good question. Whether they're considered to be kelim, we'll see that addressed as we move on. The Ramban, and this is an important Ramban, although probably less important for here. It's probably more important to read it, which I guess we will forget by then, in terms of Yosef's coat of many colors, which is what he addresses over here, because he sees it as being a parallel. L'chvod lo tiferet, sheyeh nechbad u mefu'ar b'malbushim nechbadim u'farim. So it should be nice clothing. There you go, nice clothing. Kemosh Amar Katuv, Kichatan Yichahin Pe'er. So here you had the word pe'er being used, and in context that a chatan and a kohen, pe'er, so he uses the word pe'er tiferet, which could be beautiful, a little more dignified than beautiful. Ki eila begadim levushei malchutein. These clothings are royal clothing. And one of the themes that the Ramban is going to identify is that big de kihuna, the clothing of the kohen, is in essence royal clothing. It's clothing which is appropriate for a king, for a queen, for a prince, princess. So that's what he's going to identify. Kidmutan yibushua malachim bizman haTorah. And he's being more specific now, and again, you can debate him if you like, and he's saying the descriptions of the clothing which were used is what kings wore during this is royalty during the time of the Torah. Kimoshe matzinu biktonet, as we find by the ketonet, which at least in terms of the linguistics, is one of the things which is described over here. Vasalo ketonet pasim. So by the way, so what did he just now do for us? He just now told us that the ketonet pasim, which Yosef was given, are clothings of royalty. By the way, you can have two conclusions of this. One conclusion is that Yaakov sees Yosef as the future king, and the other possibility that he sees him as a future kohen, because the kohen wears king's clothing. But either way, what Yaakov has done is he's given Yosef royal clothing, according to what the Ramban is explaining. Shapir shumiru kemet kidmut pasim. So therefore, what does it mean, ketonet pasim? It means a ketonet which has a certain type of weave to it. Embroidery. V'hi ketonet tashbeitz kimo shepirashti. And he goes, now you can go back and look what I said in Bereshit in terms of exactly how that clothing was made. V'hilbishu kiben malchei kedem. And Yosef's wearing this gave the impression of being royalty in antiquity. V'cheina derech b'me'il ketonet, and regarding the other things that the kohen is to wear is the same thing. V'katuv alek tonet pasim ki kin talbushena benot ha-melech ha-betulot me'ilim, and he went and he jumped to a verse which deals with David's daughter, Tamar, where it describes the clothing that she wore. So again, he's saying over here that this is clothing of royalty. This is clothing of a princess. So he has, in a sense, the clothing of a prince, and a princess, ketonet pasim, is used in those cases. The other subtext to this, though, of course, is that one suffered from too much hatred from his siblings, the other one from, quote-unquote, too much love, and then hatred from her sibling. So the ketonet pasim in both of these cases seems to have a deeper connection. Upirshu ki alek tonet pasim near eight binu neglet ki minhaglu vosh binot hamelech habitulot meilim shetit alfena bahen v'nimtzak tonet pasim aleh melbush elyon l'chein marv tonet pasim asher leh kara. So again, he's working hard and showing us that this is in fact the clothing of royalty. V'amitznefet yadua gam hayom l'malachim l'sarim agolim. The mitznefet, how would you translate mitznefet? Crown. He says even in our day we still have kings who are wearing crowns. Ulechein amara katuv bin polam ha-malchut ha-sera mitznefet v'reim ha-atara. Again, the crown connected to the very kingdom. And he'll quote other verses connecting pe'er, right? Pe'eri, pe'er, pe'er v'shevach. So showing that the word teferet over here is connected to kingdom. By the way, it's interesting, because again, I'm going to insist, maybe we'll see it more specifically, that the word kavod is connected to God, the word teferet is really what we project towards man. Unless, of course, you want to say that the clothing of the king is a divine right, and therefore, again, it's connected to God, and therefore the king somehow becomes a microcosm of at least the power of God, as it were, as God is Malchut to Kol Olam and He's a Melech, but it seems to be that the Kavod is something which is more of a divine connection, while the Teferet is more of something that people should appreciate.
Why do we have Kaved Avicha
Ve'Imecha? Why is it on the right side of the Luchot, which is the Bein Adam L'Makom? They prayed for the printing. No, I'm being serious. By the way, that's also the Ramban, because you would honor your parents because they brought you into this world and they give you clothing, they give you sustenance, they give. And ultimately, who brought you into this world? Ultimately, who gives you food? Ultimately, who gives you shelter? So, therefore, the logical understanding that one should honor their parents should bring one to the logical understanding that one should honor God as well. So therefore, in a sense, that the honor of one's parents, again, and I'm saying, those who say that the first five of the luchot are o ben adam l'makom, the fifth one is honoring one's parents, so maybe therefore the objective is ben adam l'makom. As I said, that the Ramban develops that as well. V'al derech ha'emet, so whenever the Ramban says al derech ha'emet, it means he's going to speak about something which is Kabbalistic. ולכבוד ולתפארת יאמר שיעשו בגדי קודש לארון לשרת בהם לכבוד השם השוכן בתוכם ולתפארת עוזם. He says the real explanation, the real understanding, is that these things contain holiness. It's not for persons, maybe as he could have implied till now, why should a king wear royal clothing so everyone should respect the king? No, this is not just about respect. This is not about public relations. It's not that you know who the king is. Is that he's saying over here is that there's holiness within this. I mean, that's his derech ha'emet. Again, lechvod l'tefaret yomar shiasu bigdei kodesh la'aron. Kodesh is the operative word here. L'sharepem lechvod Hashem hashochein b'tocham l'tefaret uzam. This is about serving God. It's the, again, by the way, it goes back to what I was saying. It's the kavod of God. You're serving God. You need to wear clothing which would be appropriate, which has holiness to it. And he'll come back again and again. Bichvod mikoved bichvod Hashem. And so on. V'yu abagadim, and on the very bottom, tzrichim asiyah l'shman, they need to be done. They need to be done l'shman. By the way, this already creates a similarity to when one writes a Sefer Torah, or one makes tefillin, and so on. Tashmish ekdusha, which I think you were getting to before, that when one makes things which are holy, one needs the proper intention. Because one has the proper intention, that's what creates the holiness within it. And therefore, somebody who just has a nice handwriting and is sitting in shorts and listening to rap music as they're writing their Sefer Torah with absolutely no belief in God whatsoever. I'm sorry for that entire image. And anybody thinks I insulted rap, it's okay. Others think I insulted music when I said rap music, but. That image where one has no connection to God, that does not create a Sefer Torah which will have holiness. Over here as well, the clothing of the Kohanim need to be done lishma. V'yu b'gedim tzrichim l'asiyah lishman. V'itechem sheyu tzrichim kavana. So, by the way, it's interesting. Not just does it need lishma, it needs kavana. I'm not exactly sure what the distinction there is. L'chein omar v'tate ber kochach melev asher milatav ruach chachma. Why do they need chachma? According to this, they need the chachma not in order to have the skill to do it. They need the chachma in order to do it with the proper intention. Sheyavinu ma sheyasu. That they understand the significance of what they're doing. Kfar omru d'mut diukno min atzeach l'fnei beit l'fnei Lefanai bebeit milachamti. So as far as the Ramban is concerned, he gave us two levels, the outward level and the inner level. The outward level, what are these clothing? The outward level is that this is big day malchut. It's clothing of royalty. Why do we need clothing of royalty? Or what is the essence of this? Is that we're really serving God, and therefore it needs to be holy clothing. So that's what he's saying. And more importantly, and the person that's doing the avodah can now focus on the avodah that they're doing. But the first stage, as he's saying, is that even the making of this clothing needs to be done with the proper intention. The Chizkuni, now jumping back to Bezalel, I'm sorry, I will keep going back and forth, going back to Bezalel, being the one to make the Mishkan, he says, Nizkar Zikno Shel Bezalel, Masha Ein Kein Be'Eliav. When it came to Bezalel, we mentioned his grandfather. We didn't do that by Eliav. When he just said, Ben Achisamach, Lefisha Nerag B'Masa Egel, U'melechet HaMishkan Ba, L'chaper Aloto Avon, L'kach Nizkar Chur Alea. And therefore, he's following the approach that the whole Mishkan over here is to forgive for the Chet HaEgel, and therefore it becomes so significant that the person who was killed by the Chet HaEgel, namely Chor, that his grandson is involved in the building. So the Chizkuni sees something much closer. Over here, by the way, a number of the Baalei HaTosfot bring this connection. Now, continuing with Bezalel and Bezalel's skill set, the Gemara goes much further than I went. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Moshe, source 10, Hagun Alecha Bezalel, Moshe, is Bezalel okay? Acceptable to you? And Moshe gives the correct answer. Amar lo Ribono Shel Olam, Lefanecha Hagun, Lefanai Lo Kol Shekein. It's good for you, it's good for me. What's the problem? Now again, it could be because of the political intrigue in this, but there's another issue. It could be because of his very young age. He cannot be all that old. 12, 13 years old, that's as much as he can be. Amar lo, afa pikein lechem olam Yisrael. Go and tell the Jews, olam Yisrael, hagun lechem Bezalel. Is Bezalel acceptable? And again, I'm going to point out, Bezalel, the grandson of the man you murdered, what do you think about him being involved in the building over here, which hopefully will create some kind of a tikkun, of rectification of what happened? If it's good for you and good for God, or good for God and good for you, it's good for us as well. So the name Bezalel indicates wisdom itself. Aron v'kelim, again, identifying what he made, the Mishkan, the Aron, and the Kelim. Halach Moshe v'afach v'amar, asei Aron v'kelim u'mishkan. He went and said it to Bezalel in a different sequence, different order. Omla Moshe Rabbeinu, minhag shel olam adam bona bayit v'afkach machnis l'tocho kelim. The way the world works is, first you build the house, and then you buy the furniture. Vata omer asei kelim aron u'mishkan, and you said the sequence of the way around. Kelim sheni oseh lehecha nachnisam. Where am I going to put it? Shema kach omer lecha Kodesh Baruch Hu. Maybe God said to you asei mishkan aron v'kelim. Maybe God said it to you the other order. Amar lo shema bitzal el hayita v'yadata. You are bitzal el. You are in the bitzal el. You are in the shadow of God. Amar of Yehuda. Amar Rav. Yodea haya Bezalel litzaref otiot shenavru behem shamayim va'aretz k'tiv hacha v'imalei ota ruach elokim b'chachma b'tfuna uvedat u'k'tiv hatam Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz konin shamayim b'tfuna u'k'tiv b'da'ato tumot nikval. So over here it's comparing the construction of Bezalel with the building of heaven and earth. And if you go back to the pasuk that we saw about his skills, Ruach Elokim, the phrase Ruach Elokim should have reminded you of something. Right? Going all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to Bereshit, which means that's what the Gemara is noting. There's a Bereshit theme over here that this Ruach Elokim, again, what did it say about Bezalel? Rikarati b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chul matei Yudah v'amalei oto Ruach Elokim b'chachma v'tuna v'dat b'kol melacha. So the Gemara is insisting that these are the skills which were given to him or which he had, and these are the skills which God used when God created heaven and earth, which is therefore suggesting now that on some level, the building of the Mishkan is a microcosm of creation. So, especially what I would note is that it says Bezalel knew Yodea Bezalel Litzaref Otiot. If any of you ever heard of a mystical book which is called the Sefer Yetzirah, that's exactly what the Sefer Yetzirah is about. This God creates the world by language. God speaks, right? But in order to speak, you first need there to be language. In order to be language, you need to be letters. And God uses the letters. He knew how to litzaref otiot, and that's how the universe is created. And that's where the whole legend of the golem comes from, that if somebody knows how to use or manipulate letters, one will know how to create these something which is called a golem. And according to one particular version of this, which may be very late, it says that on the forehead of the golem, it would had the first, middle, and the last letter. Aleph, Mem, and Tav, which said Emet. And then to turn it off, you took away the Aleph, which represents God, you take away the divinity, one God, and then you're left with Mate. So I said that's at least one version of the story, which is connected to this whole thing. There is maybe even two themes of making a golem, which is connected to Purim. One is that there's a Gemara in Megillah that, according to the way the Tosfot understood it, is that Esther was not the one who actually went in to be with the king. That they made a golem that looked like Esther and sent her in instead. And there is such a teaching. There is also a body double for the certain scenes. There is also the Gemara that speaks about getting drunk, which may actually tell you that you shouldn't get drunk. It says, "I'm a Rav Machayv Inishal Sunu Yipuri Adelo Yadim Inor Harvelamich Mordechai." The Rav says a person is obligated in Purim to drink to the point that Rashi says drink wine to the point that they become mellowed. I don't know what the word besume means. I don't think it means to get drunk, but a person should drink to the extent that they can't tell the difference between cursing hum. I have to see if I get this right. Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai, which, by the way, is a great deal. I know people who've been conducting lifelong investigations on this, and that's just a great. I don't know how you get to that point and you're still. Again, I don't know anybody who's drunk so much and say, "Look, let me get this right. Hitler was the bad one. Mother Teresa was the good one." I mean, I really, really think that that is a great deal of alcohol. If you want, your homework can be to work on this. There's a number of commentaries who say that Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai happen to have the same gematria. It's 502. But you have to drink till you can't do that gematria, which most of you are there already, by the way. And that's it. And you're set. But right after this, the Gemara says, continues, and it says that Rabba and Reb Zeira did the Purim Suda together. And Rabba b'shachted Reb Zeira. And Rabba got up and he shechted Reb Zeira. Which number, don't worry, a number of commentaries don't want to take it literally, although a number of them do want to take it literally, that he killed him. It says that he davened for him and he came back to life. The next year he said, by the way, it doesn't say who the he is. Everyone understands that next year it's Rabin writing Reb Zeira. That was fun, let's do it again. It never says this. But it says that the next year, they says, let's do it again. And the other one says, miracles don't take place every day. Now, it happens to be that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Rabba Bara Gavra, that he made a golem. Vishadre le Reb Zeira. And what did he do? He sent it to Reb Zeira. And Reb Zeira talked to him, so the guy couldn't answer, which is part of the question is, did he make an incomplete golem, or golems can't speak? This is a big question in golemology. And then he couldn't speak. And then he returns him back to being dust. So it could be that the golem was the response of Reb Zeira to Rabba, who says miracles don't happen every day. And Rabba says, "Don't worry. When I come to, I can do all kinds of magical things." But as I said, there are perhaps two connections to the golem story. The golem is based upon this manipulation of letters, because letters are the basic building blocks of creation, because God creates by speech. So what we have over here is this Ruach Elokim connected to creation, but it also touched upon something else, and that was the Chachma, the Bina, and the Da'at, which were involved. Of course, you put those together, that's what Chabad got their acronym from, Chachma, Bina, and Da'at. Of those, two of those three are actually Sfirot, in terms of the Kabbalistic Sfirot. Da'at is not a Sfira, Da'at is a connection. Chachma and Bina, which represents male and feminine, that when they, as moderns would say, when they hook up, then it's considered to be Da'at. V'yoda Adam et Chava Ishto. Da'at is the point of knowledge. God knew, Adam knew his wife. So knowledge is the connection between Chachma and Bina. But let's see what Rashi does with these terms. No. We only take supportive questions at this point. Supportive comments at this point. Where's Rashi? Rashi's in source 14. Rashi says, Chachma Masha Adam Shomea Me Acherim V'Lamad. So wisdom is what we acquire, what we learn from others. Tzvuna, Bina, Mevin Davar Milibo, Mitoch Davarim Shalamad. Bina is that you understand something, I would use the word understanding, you understand something, perhaps deeper, from that which you've already learned. And that, he calls Ruach HaKodesh, which also is very interesting in terms of what I said earlier about that, that that is the connection, that is Ruach HaKodesh. Of course, what's interesting is when the Gemara insists that women have da'atan kalot, but on the other hand, the Gemara insists that women have bina yetera. So what exactly that means in terms of that emphasis? By the way, I've never seen a rabbinic source that said both together. They say, oh, women have da'atan kalot. Yeah, but it also says they have bina yetera. So what's more interesting to me is not to say, oh, they're part of the species is lacking in this, but yeah, but it's part of their also. What is the whole thing? What is, which means I would even say as follows, that all people have chachma, all people have bina, and all people have dat. Rashi's definition of dat maybe is a little bit harder, but all people have all three. The question may be, when you make decisions, which one of these skills will you use as your primary tool within your decision-making process? Will you primarily trust your intuition, which I'm calling now dat, because understanding something from deeper, or will you use primarily, bina, or would you use primarily dat? So which one would you use, which means, again, it could be, what? At least in Rashi's definition. I'm saying, I'll read the words of Rashi. Mevin davar milibo, mitoch davarim shalamad. That's much more, it's understanding something from themselves, from something which they've already learned. That's bina. Right. So it may be what the Gemara is saying. Induction could be as well. Okay? So the description over here of Bezalel, again, as opposed to those who made the clothing, what were we told? Only identified Chachma. Ruach Chachma. Chachma. And if Chachma is what you learned, so therefore they had skills in terms of how to make the clothing. And that seems to be the entire issue. Look at the Sforno in source 12. First and 12. I mean, if you want the Rabbeinu Bachai in 11, he just explains the Ramban. I mean, he takes that whole Ramban and he puts it into one short sentence. Samach vasula chachmelev. First, the Rabbeinu Bachai in 11. Lurmoz shetia asiyat begadim mitoch machshevet chachma v'hu it needs thought, it needs kavanah, it needs to be l'shem shemayim. Again, that was the whole Ramban, really, in one sentence. But which part of the Ramban, of course, the more mystical part. The Sforno in source 12, l'chvod hakel yitbarach b'yato b'gdei kodesh l'avodoto. That's what kavod means. Kavod is something for God, honoring God. L'teferet shirakoin moren nora al kos v'vivav. So that's for his colleagues. That's interesting. Kavod is God connected. I keep saying that. Kavod is God connected. Tiferet is man connected. So who makes it? The people that have these skills. Top of page 3, continuing the Sforno. Vasu et bigdei Aharon. Vasu gamkein et bigdei Aharon. L'kadsho l'shem kach yasu abigadim. So he also has this issue of kavanah, and so on, but basically bring artisans, not artisans, bring tailors. Holy tailors. Maybe that's where Lord and Taylor came from, I don't know. But this is, these are people who need to do this with proper kavanah. On the other hand, when the Sforno is describing Bezalel, he writes in 13, Rekrati b'shem, Ra'uve vin ki lo el chinam karativ, ki davar ikari hu bimelechet hakodesh etiyena aseta yedei bechir Hashem Hamechavein bepulato sheusag tachlit hamitzvah. And by the way, with all of those words, I'm choosing somebody who's talented, who'll understand the essence of this mitzvah. With all those words I'm saying, I'm not convinced that, at least in the Sfarno, that the descriptions of the two are really that different. In both cases, this is the person who understands this, will have proper kavanah, do it right. This is the person who's best equipped to have the proper kavanah and do it right. So when it comes to the Sfarno, I'm not convinced that there really is a distinction between the skills. Rav Hirsch, in source 15, writes, "B'chokhma uvitfuna uvidat." Okay, we know what Rashi had said. He says, "Look at Bereshit Mem Aleph, which talks about the skills of Yosef." Lo nitmana bitzala el mishum shahayu bo kocho taruach eile. He's chosen because he has these spiritual qualities. Amor miyatash asiyat mishkan lo hayta rak asiyat chitzonit shemaase amanut chitzoni. It's not about an artisan making a beautiful building. Ela mifal hakamat binyan shekol chelakav hayta lehem mashmaut symbolit. Every single aspect of the mishkan has symbolic significance, which, by the way, Rav Hirsch will explain, both in a separate monograph and in his commentary in the Torah. Harayonot hamitbatim b'mishkan v'kol chelakav yu alev haosim b'melacha b'shat asiya. Which means that if every single aspect of the Mishkan has divine significance, the person making it needs to understand the divine significance. The Malbim goes in a similar direction. First of all, he adds that the person needs, v'amaleoto ruach elokim, he says, is ruach nivu'ah, V'ruach HaKodesh. That means that Betzalel, to make this, needs prophecy. He needs a prophetic eye. He needs a prophetic eye to see what it is he needs to build and to see the inner significance of what it is that he's building. I'm skipping a line. Kilev inyan mishkan milvad sheyatzarech ladat kol minei hamalachot yatzarech lechaven et hasod hanistar v'atzafun b'binyan hazeh. He needs to understand the mystical significance of this. Shehu asagat klal ha'olamot ukshurim im ruach elokim chayim hamechia utam v'shochein bam. You need to understand all kinds of things about divinity, all kinds of things about mystical rules. You need to understand how the world and the universe functions, because what you're building over here, I'm going to say it again, is really a microcosm of the universe. Skip to Pasuk Dalet Lechshov. Neged mashka b'chachmot v'no b'dat mefarish lechshov machshavot ratzalomar sha'ayidei ken yachshov yichavein et hasodot hatzfunot shebinyan hagadol l'kivun negdam et binyan hakatan. There you have it, where the Malbim says that the Mishkan is a microcosm of the universe, and just as God used these letters and this wisdom and so on, God used these sfirot, as it were, as chachma and bina and da, to create the universe. Bitzalel, as was already implied by the Gemara, is going to need to know the same kind of skill set. And that, by the way, that's the most frightening sentence I've ever said. You need to know the same skill set as God in order to be able to build the Mishkan. That is what the Malbim is suggesting over here. I agree that the Gemara leaves that in a tantalizing way. It's a little bit open. My assumption is that the Gemara is saying that he has the most skill, and then God gives him much more. But there's still something else I want to get to. Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, so, by the way, that's exactly what I was going to say. That was the same thing.
I'm sorry.
The menorah, which gives light, and the sun.
Four of these.
That's skipping it up. It's like...
You don't like that one. That was a good one. That was too obvious. We're staying with the obvious.
Feeding the world through the shulchan.
Say again, what did you say?
My father said, feeding the world through the shulchan.
Okay, could you explain that?
No. Yeah. I want to read one more source, which I actually think is remarkable. And it's actually the contrast now. This is really what I wanted to get to. And actually, the whole class was just to get to this one point. It's source 19, and it's again Rav Hirsch. But this is Rav Hirsch describing the clothing. L'chavod, in the second paragraph, Eino ela kaved. That kavod is something which is heavy, something which has gravitas, something which is important. B'mashma'ut ruchanit. But kavod is in a spiritual sense. So again, that's just interesting also what somebody raised before, kaved etavicha v'etimecha. That's very interesting. That kavod, he's saying, means in a spiritual sense. And I can assure you that till this point in the Chumash, he's 100% right. If it ever changes, that's another question. It continues, and he writes, Bo mivate ha-tochen aruchani v'musari she-bitrunat ha-mahut. Bebidei ha-kuna titbate ifu mashma'ut ha-kuna kavod mitzayenet etzem tchunat ha-bigadim. That these clothing need to represent something which is holy, but again, something which is divine. Ula teferet, bo bizman tzuchim ha-bigadim liyot asuyim kein kach, shehim mosifim teferet le-kohen, pe'er, karov le-be'er, bahar, bachar. He does these kinds of etymologies a lot. We'll skip a little. Mekana drisha ha-bigadim lo rak yismalu et tochna ha-ruchani shalakuna l'chvod, ele yitztainu bihidur tzuratam viyu kishut le-kohen. המושג המתבטא על ידי כבוד מקבל על ידי תפארת את הערכה הרויה לו. So again, I'm saying that one is God-directed and the other is man-directed, but here comes the more surprising point that he brings up. Pasuk Gimel. El kol chachmei lev. And this goes back to the people with the skills or receive the skills. Asher meleitiv ruach chachma, who I've given them wisdom. So again, I'm going to note, when it comes to the clothing, making the clothing, what's lacking? What's lacking? The Ruach Elokim. What else is lacking?
Bina.
The Bina and the Dat is lacking. Devar zeh nimtza kan rak v'gabei osei ha-begadim. Only regarding making the clothing do we find this. V'ilu gabei osei ha-kolam melechat ha-mishkan maskira katuv et ha-tzorach b'tuchunat ha-chachma rak b'perek lamed aleph agav minuyim shel betzal v'liyav nira shezeh ta'amo shel davar asiyat ha-mishkan v'keilav haitag shura b'klalel b'rater b'tavnit shaya her'ele Moshe. That when it comes to building the Mishkan, it needs to match the vision that Moshe has. Moshe has a prophetic vision. The people who make it need to share that prophetic vision, which means Moshe sees the Mishkan, because God says multiple times, as I showed you. So Moshe sees, or if you prefer to say, then Moshe sees the Beit HaMikdash Shalmala, or the Mishkan Shalmala, but Moshe sees something. Therefore, those who make it need to see it. They need Ruach Elokim, they need Nivuah, they need Da'at, which Rashi described as Nivuah, Ruach HaKodesh. But then he says, "V'ilu l'gabei ha-bigadim nish'ar la'oseyem chofesh pu'ula b'mida gdola yoter." That when it came to making the clothing, each designer had the rights to make it how they wanted to make it. They were given certain parameters, but they were given freedom. They were never shown. It never says by the Big Day Kiruna, as I showed you, there's no vision, there's no prophecy which is being matched. And that's really the answer to this issue, the contrast between the two. That when it comes to the building of the Mishkan, there's a model which exists in a spiritual realm that needs to be replicated. But when it comes to the Big Day, and I'm going to say it again, the Big Day Kiruna have kavod on teferet. Kavod is heaviness, seriousness, holiness, connection to God. Teferet is to look really nice for people, and it seems to be that what Hirsch is suggesting. So who decides what looks really nice for people? The people that happen to be the tailors in that particular generation, and they had the right to make those clothing with the, what did he say? With far more freedom of interpretation. So again, this to me was very surprising. Artistic creativity. So this was, I think, far more, this was surprising at least to me. I don't know, maybe you just assumed this from the very beginning, because I would have thought, just like the Mishkan, everything has to be exact. So here we're told, when it comes to the clothing, what's the purpose of the clothing? Make them with intention, make them holy, make them so the Kohen feels connected to God, but make them also, the people seeing this will say, wow, that's the Kohen, and how that is done. We in a certain sense, I don't want to say that we subcontract, we're not subcontracting it, but the person doing it They have the right to make those interpretations. And again, we're never told the names of those men and women. I'm going to test. There were both men and women who did this. We're never told their names, but they had their creativity, and they're the ones who created the big day kahuna.